We'd like to begin this program by acknowledging the Noongar people as the traditional owners of these lands and waters that we are coming together to have a yarn. I pay my respects to the elders past, present and emerging. It is our privilege to be on Whadjuk Noongar Boodja. Kayawanju, hello and welcome to Yorga's Yarning Show on 100.9 FM and Digital Noongar Radio. It's Paulina here tonight with you. On tonight's show, we have an amazing early childhood teacher, Michaela King, yarning with us. Michaela has had an amazing career in education, but she also keeps herself very busy volunteering in organisations that are very close to her heart. She's also advancing her knowledge and skills as an academic. Before we speak to her, we're going to get into some music. Stay tuned because straight after this song by the Pointer Sisters, we'll be speaking to Michaela King.
Hi, this is Miss NAIDOC 2022, Nikki Trigwell, and you're listening to Noongar Radio.
You're listening to Yorga's Yarning on 100.9 FM and Digital Noongar Radio. We're here tonight with Michaela King. Hi, Michaela. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Michaela, let's start with your story. Where does it begin?
So I was actually born and raised on Whadjuk country of the Noongar Nation, born just not far from here in Middle Swan. My family come from Mount Isa in Queensland, so I'm a proud Kalkadoon woman. My dad is Greg King, and he grew up in Kundoola, Balga and Girraween, so we've got lots of connections to mob over there. And then my grandmother is Jean Patterson, who was born in Mount Isa on our country, and then her parents are Daisy Saltmere and George Patterson. So I'm a long way from home in terms of my country, and my mum is Dutch, so she comes from Amsterdam, which is really cool.
Yeah. Any shout-outs that you want to do tonight? Anyone that might be listening?
Just hello to my family and to all the students that I teach.
Awesome. Thank you. Tell me, Michaela, why did you choose to work in education?
That's a really big question, and it actually got me reflecting when I was thinking about it. This year it's been 10 years since I started in education, so it's quite a big portion of my life. I started working as an Aboriginal Islander education officer when I left school, so when I was 17, and I was really excited to be in that role, and I didn't really understand what the impact was going to be like or what my capacity would be in education. So I went in kind of blind, not knowing what was about to unfold in my journey. But I guess if I was to put it short, the reason I work in education is because of the impact. It's immediate and it's profound, and it keeps me going back every single day.
For 10 years.
For 10 years, yeah.
Hopefully 10 more
years. So a couple
years.
More days.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. And when you say an impact, do you mean on your students, on teachers? What's the sort of impact?
Yeah, so I guess I obviously have a couple of different roles within education at the moment. I am classroom teaching one day a week, so the impact is on students.
Yeah.
But I'm also an education academic at Edith Cowan University, so I'm also impacting students who are learning to be teachers that are doing the Bachelor of Education course. And then through my business, I work with lots of different schools and universities and TAFEs, so impact students on a range of levels.
And also teachers as well, you were
and
saying.
And teachers, So the spectrum is really broad, which is exciting, and it keeps me going and wanting to keep pushing myself.
Absolutely. And I'm sure those students that you teach also teach their teachers.
Exactly.
From you as well. So it's a beautiful circle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Now, Michaela, there was a, when I was doing a little bit of research on you, there was this beautiful quote which you said, and it really resonated with me on lots of different levels, and I just want to read it to you, and I'd love for you to just give me some more explanation, I guess, on this quote. So you said it's about, I guess, in relation to education, it's about building effective relationships with Aboriginal children. For a lot of Aboriginal children, it's not the content that is being taught, but who is teaching it. That part I loved. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
I guess the way, in reflective of Aboriginal ways of knowing, the way we come to understand, interpret and communicate what we know is through relationships, relationships with people, relationships with place, with country and with our curriculum. And so what I'm saying is we have to have a relationship with what we're wanting to learn. doesn't always have to be with the teacher, because we can learn from country and our peers as well. But in terms of understanding content to its potential, we have to teach through a relationship.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And I, as I said to you before the interview, I a couple of years ago saw your one of your presentations, and it was actually what you said at that presentation, which is why I always like to begin with my interviews on Yorga's Yarning with Tell Me Your Story, because it was something you actually said then when, I don't know
That's really cool.
That, but I just always remember saying, you said, share your story with the children that you teach, and they will want to share their story with you. And I remember you mentioned that Aboriginal children love to talk about their families, their country. So, you know, immediately after that PL, I actually went back to the classroom and started putting up family photos of myself, the children were like, who's that? And so now they bring their family photos, and we always start off by talking about ourselves and talking about our families. And so these interviews, I love to use that as well. It's like, tell me about you, tell me your story.
Exactly. So, and it changes the power and it changes the privilege and the situation completely.
Definitely.
That's something so awesome to hear.
It stuck there with me, so I love that. Now, you began your career, as you mentioned, as a AEIO, lots of vowels in that one. And this ultimately led you to complete your bachelor's degree in education. Can you tell me, how did this happen?
So I left school, obviously left high school. I was the first in my family to finish year 12. So my family were really proud of me and that big achievement. And I was really proud of myself. And I was really lucky because I loved school. I always wanted to be the teacher's helper. I was a prefect. Absolutely loved my time at school. And I had some really influential people in high school that helped me understand that I actually had the potential to achieve things, which was really exciting, because for a long time I couldn't see that for myself. And I also didn't think I had access to university, so I'd never even met anybody who had been to university before. And in understanding what we know about the importance of being able to see yourself, it was really impactful on my journey when I met Aboriginal teachers for the first time. So you're right, I did start as an Aboriginal aunt education officer when I was 17. And I really loved it, and my colleagues said to me, you should think about becoming a teacher. And I just looked at them and I was like, what are you talking about? There's no way that I have the capacity to be a teacher. You know, whilst I loved school, I hated reading, I hated writing, I was never good at it. But I was working with a mentor at the time who said to me that the University of Western Australia has a really good Aboriginal orientation course. And so I took leave without pay from my education department role for a year and enrolled in the course. And that was incredible because it was with all other Aboriginal students, and we had some Aboriginal lecturers as well, which was really exciting for me to see. And it was probably at that point that I thought a bit more about what was the degree that I wanted to do. About October, I decided that the following year I'd enrol in a Bachelor of Education, which meant I had to move university. So it was quite difficult to get yourself to a campus. Not difficult as in I can just drive my car there, but how to access the buildings, how to know where to find a building. They're really, really foreign places, and they're really hard to feel comfortable in. So it was a really challenging time to get myself to that place. And then, I enrolled in the Bachelor of Education, and in my third year I won two awards. One of them was a leadership award for the work that I was doing in the community at the time, and the other one was a Vice-Chancellor Award, so acknowledges academic achievement and engagement within the degree. Now, until this time, I was probably a credit average student. Like, I was still really struggling to access information, interpret information, and see my potential as a teacher. And then by about the fourth year, I kind of just really settled into the degree, loved uni, loved learning, loved working at a school. So this time I was working back as an Aboriginal Islander Education Officer while I was studying. And I finished and I completed my degree, which is really exciting.
Absolutely. Yeah. How inspiring that, you know, at one stage you were thinking, could I do this? And then there you are, winning awards, haven't even finished your degree.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Very, very inspiring.
Yeah. And so obviously I went to teach after that.
Yeah.
And I taught full-time the following year. And again, the same thing happened. I settled into the role really quickly and won some really big teaching awards.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah, within the first 6 months I won an Early Childhood Australia Award, which recognises early career teachers. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, within about 2 weeks of each other, I won the Midland NAIDOC Education and Arts Person of the Year. And
amazing.
What was really important for me at that time was that I was recognised by my community as a teacher.
Yeah.
And because I don't care about other awards. Like, I just need feedback from my community about what I'm doing. And if I'm teaching our children in a way that I should be. Mm-hmm. And so to get that acknowledgement from my community was really important for me.
Incredible. And obviously they, you know, recognise the incredible work that you're doing.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
So we've talked about all your awards. Well done. I'm sure there's many, many more awards to come as well. Michaela, we're going to get into a little bit of music now.
Yep.
So stay tuned, because right after this music, we're chatting with Michaela King.
Are you an Aboriginal person interested in the conservation and cultural management of WA's water resources and environment? The Department of Water and Environmental Regulation is looking for new members to join the Aboriginal Water and Environment Advisory Group. If you have relevant expertise and experience and are interested in joining the group, visit wa.gov.au/AWEAG to apply. Department of Water and Environmental Regulation, station sponsor.
If you're an adult who has difficulties with reading, writing or spelling, the Reading Writing Hotline has some very good news. It can actually be easier to take the plunge and improve your reading and writing skills than to keep putting it off. Phone the Reading Writing Hotline and find out how. Their number is 1300 655 06. That's the Reading Writing Hotline, and they're there to help.
1300 655 06.
Go on, take the plunge.
This is our community service announcement from Noongar Radio.
I'm Jane. You're listening to 100.9 FM Noongar Radio.
Yeah!
Alan Abraham. You're listening to 100.9 FM on Digital Noongar Radio Perth.
Welcome back to Yorkers Yarning on 100.9 FM and Digital Noongar Radio. You're here tonight with Paulina and our very special guest, Michaela King. Kaya, Michaela.
Hello.
It's been so nice chatting with you so far.
Yeah, you too.
Now, Michaela, you've recently completed your thesis in education. Can you tell us about this and what does it involve?
Yeah, so a thesis is a body of work. So in this case, it was some research. Mm-hmm. And I had to write 22,000 words on a new...
Whoa.
Yeah, on something new. So yeah. I had to find... what we call the theoretical edge, so what mm-hmm. is currently known, mm-hmm. And then push it a little bit further into something really new. So for my thesis, I looked at curriculum mm-hmm. and I was having a look at what the absences were from an Aboriginal perspective. So one of the examples I found was that the Aboriginal content in our current Australian science curriculum is minimal mm-hmm. and it's to the side and it's not privileged. And so as a response to those absences, I've created my own curriculum model, which
wow.
I call, yeah, which I have called a woven curriculum. And then I've written all about that in my thesis. So, and I found out last week that it has been accepted.
Amazing.
Yeah, so I'm really excited about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's really helping us kind of find the language to talk about what we have known for a really long time.
Yeah,
so
cool.
I'm really excited about what can happen as a result of the research.
Mm. Mm. Well, in case you don't know, I am a teacher and I'd be very happy to give your woven curriculum a go. If you need anyone to put it into practice, I'll give my best go.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Very cool. Well done on doing your thesis.
Yeah,
that is an incredible achievement.
Yeah, so it took about a year. It was quite a long process.
Amazing. Yeah. And do you have to apply to do a thesis or you?
Yeah, yeah. So I had to enrol in a master's.
Mm-hmm.
So I did 7 units of coursework and then 1 year long thesis.
Incredible.
So I had to, write selection criteria, have an interview, and then you get accepted to complete a research thesis.
Amazing. In case you missed the last segment with Michaela, she was saying how you weren't even sure if you were going to go to uni.
Yeah.
You are doing a master's, doing a thesis. This is incredible.
Yeah.
Well done.
I think what it was about was that by my 4th year of my teaching degree, I kind of found a way to make it my own and to make it so that I could think and teach in a way that feels really comfortable for me as an Aboriginal woman and put that into words so that it will pass the standard Australian English quality, I guess you could say.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I just had to learn how to make it my own, which took a while.
And particularly, as you said, you know, your thesis being on absence in curriculum, and that's something that you're obviously very passionate about, making sure that your culture is embedded in curriculum.
Yeah.
What an incredible thesis topic.
Yeah.
Wow, well done.
Yeah, thank you.
Amazing. And I do mean that. Let me see what this curriculum is like. I'd love to have a read of it.
Yeah.
Michaela, in your professional opinion, what needs to be implemented better in schools for Aboriginal children?
Yeah, this is a really big question. And, you know, because you've been to my workshops, that I can't give you a short answer.
Yeah, and we don't want a short answer.
But if I was to try, I would say what we need is currently audio in our schools. We have quality teachers. We have children with a lot of capable skills and knowledges. It's about a shift within what's already inside our schools, I think. Teachers, we know that good quality teaching is about reflection, and I encourage that highly for this space, but it's also about looking at the current state of our curriculum and what knowledge is privileged and whose knowledge is privileged and how is it privileged and why is it like that. And once we start to unpack the way that curriculum is structured and the way that it actually sets us up to fail as teachers in this space, only then can we start to infuse Aboriginal perspectives. Now, infuse isn't my term, so I just want to acknowledge Dr. Jackson Barrett, a Noongar scholar who I work with at Edith Cowan University. But that's what we need. Is, in my belief, I think we need to unpack what curriculum is, what it looks like, And only then can we understand how we need to privilege other voices and knowledges with inside our curriculum. Now, I can't talk about curriculum without talking about how we teach it and pedagogy. Mm-hmm. That's what we call. Mm-hmm.
So when we look at
when we look at how we're teaching, what we're teaching, it's also the language we use and the position that we do it in, and the way that we structure what we're teaching. So I do actually believe that what we need is already in our schools, mm-hmm. but we just need to shift the way that we think about things and shift the way that the system is structured. Now, that's a massive job, and it's not a one-man job.
or one woman.
So I don't invest my energy there because it's a waste of my time. Mm-hmm. I invest my energy in individual teachers and in children who are ready to challenge this space and to push the boundaries, and that's where I'm seeing change. You know, like I did a workshop that you came to, and now you've just told me a story about how it's impacted your practice. You know, so that's where I invest my time and my energy.
Absolutely. And I really like the way you said as well, people that are ready to listen to that as well. It's really important, because I think even from that workshop, we came back and we started to implement that. You know, what might seem small, it's huge.
Yeah.
And then other people started to go, oh, why do you do that? And we tell them about what you taught us, and they go, oh, that's really cool. Yeah. And I think even just as humans, we like to share stories about each other. We want to connect with people. Yeah. So the more and more the other teachers at our school are starting to hear that, and you walk into the classrooms and you see the photos and you see their stories being told, and the children's stories being told, you know that you're making an impact. So an impact done. I wanted to offer you and do perspectives through
I need to find Aboriginal communities to them to, as they walk through the to see them in that your day. I always from the young person walking in my classroom and think, what is it that I can see as soon as I walk in the door, which tells me I can be safe here? And we say this for children, but it's the exact same for us as adults. I go into lots of schools, lecture theatres, halls, everything, and I instantly look for something that tells me I can be safe here.
Absolutely. You've actually reminded me of something else you said at that workshop where you talked about, you know, words that you have as displays. And I came back to my classroom and I saw I had a welcome sign in English. And then I thought, I could actually put that in Noongar, and I made a Wanju sign. And you spoke about having the text being the same size. Why should one be bigger than the other? So they're exactly the same size. They're in both positioned in the same spot, so that people that walk in see welcome and Wanju exactly the same size. So it was something else that you mentioned, which I just thought, that's so true.
Yeah, otherwise we just reinforce privileging standard Australian English. But,
thank you again for all these little tips.
Oh, I just remember what I was going to say.
I
recently moved into teaching a mainstream classroom, which was really interesting for me, because I had to then not privilege Aboriginal knowledges, and I had to look at how I can be inclusive of all children that were sharing the classroom with me. So I actually learnt Russian and Māori language as well, and whenever I'd write greetings in letters that I sent home or on the check-in wall or anything like that, I would use four languages.
Amazing.
So I actually
find that as well.
It can translate to a range of contexts. It works for all children.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And all of those children then feel, you know, accepted.
Oh, it was incredible. And, yeah. It's absolutely incredible.
Amazing. Well done. And I wanted to ask you, just before we go to another song break, so what has motivated you to do your work in education?
Well, I think watching my success so early in my career and then having the opportunity to teach other people how to experience the same success became really important for me. And all of this came really naturally, and I was talking to a colleague about it today. I wasn't taught to teach in the way that I do, but somehow I just started and I became really successful, not in terms of the awards I get, but in terms of engagement from the students that I work with and their academic results and their passion and thirst for learning. And so I think that's incredibly important, and it's important that our community and our children have access to education. I don't just mean can you get yourself to school, I mean can you use your current skill set and knowledge to access curriculum and a classroom. And once I started to see that I had the capacity to share what I know. Mm-hmm. I just had to take the opportunity. It's my responsibility to do that.
And you definitely have done that. Well done. Amazing. So we're going to go into a little bit of music now, but stay tuned because we're chatting with Michaela King and we'll be talking right after this song break. Welcome back to Yorkers Yarning on 100.9 FM and Digital Noongar Radio. You're here with Paulina and the very inspirational Michaela King. Michaela, how's it going so far?
Yeah, good.
It's been so great chatting with you tonight.
Thanks.
Michaela, as an Aboriginal woman, how do you use your skill set and knowledge to empower your community?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think what I've learned so far in my journey is that language is really important, mm-hmm. and it helps us understand the way that we think and feel about things. And I noticed in that question we use the word empower, and to use that word pretty much says that the community doesn't have any power until I give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And my work to date within my community, within myself and within my profession has been about identifying as Aboriginal people that the power is in with us.
Wow, great response. Yeah, I love
and that. We actually don't need anybody to give us power because if we remember that we have power, then we don't need to be given power.
Absolutely.
In a personal sense, not in a structural sense. Mm-hmm. We know that systems have power, but I mean in terms of what I can share with my community. I don't view it as empowerment. I view it as how can I capacity build my friends and my family to keep my community moving forward and not from a perspective that they would have nothing without me, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, definitely.
So in terms of what I do a couple of different things. Where do I start? One of them is I'm a board director for Wonsley, which is an early learning service and foster care organisation. So I'm really proud to be a board member there because obviously we are overrepresented for children in care.
Mm-hmm.
And also the impact that I get to have on early learning services from a strategic perspective is really important for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also a really good opportunity for me to have a look at what's going on in that space and how I can keep my finger in it, I suppose, and keep monitoring the situation because it is evolving really quickly when we're having lots of changes at the moment. So contributing strategically from my perspective at Wonsley is really important to me.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been involved with that organisation?
Just about a year and a half now.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was my first director position, which was really new and really different, thinking strategically rather than operationally, but really important to kind of get some experience in that space.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, and then through my business, I personally mentor Aboriginal people who are studying a Bachelor of Education.
Incredible.
Yeah, so I've mentored 19 to date.
Wow.
Yeah, they...
busy lady.
Yeah, so they have access to all of my professional learning for free. They get to come and listen to me speak at a range of different events, different contexts, sharing resources, regular communication, all of those kinds of things.
Yeah.
I also am a part of Early Childhood Australia, which is a national advocacy body for children, and I'm on the Western Australian branch as well as the Reconciliation Advisory branch.
Mm-hmm.
Recently I've had a shift in mindset in terms of my involvement in the reconciliation space, but given that it's to do with young children and Aboriginal education, I think it's really important that I look to contribute where I can in that space. I'm also just recently actually resigned from the City of Vincent Reconciliation Advisory Committee, but again, looking at how we can provide opportunities to members of the community to share their skill set, refine their skills, share their knowledge, things like that. And then in terms of what I do to share my skill set, I'm involved in quite a lot of leadership programs within the community.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote one of them, under the Western Australian Aboriginal Leadership Institute. It was an emerging leaders program. And at the time, I was still young. I was 26. So we could say that it was written for, facilitated by young Aboriginal people for young Aboriginal people, which is really exciting.
Yep.
I was the first in the state. And then through WALI, the Leadership Institute, I've done other things like chair the alumni and things like that. And then I'm also involved in Miss NAIDOC, which is really close to my heart. I was 18 when I did the program myself, mm-hmm. and I won Miss Quabbadoc. And the program was so, you know, I just turned 18. I was living off country. I was really struggling to understand what I wanted to do in my professional career, struggling to understand who I was as a person. Mm-hmm. And I did that program, and it absolutely changed my life. So ever since 2013, I've been on the working group facilitating elements of the program. So this year I facilitated some leadership workshops mm-hmm. for Miss NAIDOC and Mr. NAIDOC, which was really exciting. And I just think it's really important that when we can, we invest in each other and remember who we are. Yeah.
Wow, you're an incredible, incredible person, Michaela. You just keep yourself busy with so many things that are obviously very, very important to you and your heart just thinking about all the things that you do, and it's like, how do you fit all this in? I suppose if it's so close to your heart and these causes are so important to you, you make time for them, right?
Yeah, and I wake up at 5:30 in the morning.
Oh, my
so
goodness.
So I get up really early. Yeah.
Wow, you've got to fit all that in.
Yeah.
Good on you. You know, when you mentioned the Miss NAIDOC program, I've recently interviewed Rita, who won Doolin Award, and Nikki, who was the winner of 2022, Miss NAIDOC. What an incredible program. It really is. Like I spoke about it as well. It's something that really changed and shifted so much opportunity for them as well. It's a really, really cool program.
Yeah, definitely. I think what's really amazing about it is that it's responsive to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, all of the participants come in at varying levels of their personal, professional, cultural journey. Mm-hmm. And Miss NAIDOC and Mr. NAIDOC provide a lot of opportunities to expand and reflect and grow all areas of your life.
Yeah.
Which is what we see when we work from our way. You know, we're really responsive and we think about the whole person.
Mm. Women in your community, we have a request from you for tonight's show. So we're going to get into a song break, but did you want to announce that song?
Yeah, so I love Barker, and I'm just wondering if we can play her song, For My Titters.
Absolutely. We'll put that one on right now.
Thanks.
For you.
Baka. Black sister, where you going? How you doing? Where you been? I ain't seen you on the same for a couple of weeks. By your mates, stay on your own, you gotta do your thing. But please don't sell your soul for a couple of G's. Embrace your black skin and your race within. You're blessed by your blackness and your dark skin king. Raise strong black kids, forever's drugs in the bin. And you'll be bound to make your old people look at you and grin. Stand strong like your matriarchy. And titter, I am higher than the stars can reach. You ain't gotta act in me. I believe in your sister, take a walk with me. You're too deadly, sister, go and hang your head in the noose. I know you're sick and tired of dealing with the drugs and abuse. You're too strong, my sister, you know the deep of her roots. Black woman in a white man's world. It's tough, being sexualized is all we've learned. But it's enough, you worth more than getting treated like dirt. Show love and give your sisters what they truly deserve. Respect, we're sick and tired of getting treated as less. Saying that sex sells, but I got no products for pets. The way you treat your woman has you looking real oppressed. She got her law, you got yours, it's time to have it addressed. If she stands with you, then stand with her. Just handing down this feeling is a bigger picture. Got nothing to do with your sexual preference. This is about our solidarity, that's hidden question.
Where? luck when you truly are luck. And let me tell you something, you ain't defined by your past. They tried to judge me for it, look who gets to have the last laugh. Cause I go hard, throwing stones surrounded by glass. When get you nowhere, I ain't even ashamed of my scars. I'm a proud black sister, so don't ever get it twisted. They was aiming at my downfall, but they missed and turned to mystics. I'm really quite exquisite and my sisters keep a busy way. Rocking out our culture with our elders as our witness. Let me break it down so you get it stuck in your head. A black woman raised me, so don't you ever forget. And I ain't bagging out my brothers are warriors. But if you can't respect your titters, don't expect us to honor ya.
Radio. Welcome back to Yorkers Yarning on 100.9 FM and Digital Noongar Radio. We're here with Michaela King, the 2013 Miss Quabbaduck winner. I was going to say that. I told you. Michaela, tell us about the Miss NAIDOC program. Why do you believe it's such an important program for Indigenous women?
Yeah, so it is a leadership program facilitated by Aboriginal women for Aboriginal women. And it's a six-week program, and we have weekly workshops where we explore a range of themes like leadership, communication, boundaries, and things like that. Mm-hmm. We also have a cultural day, a networking dinner, and a photo shoot. Mm-hmm. And so it's an incredible opportunity to get to know each other. But what I really love about the program is that it's a space created by us for us, mm-hmm. and we need different internet spend at risk capacity an Aboriginal person. So I stayed on that. And with the time, this is school and media, Aboriginal often left questioning ourselves and our capacity. I can say that from my own experience, how hard it has been for me to remember who I am as an Aboriginal woman amongst university, my own school experience, and my professional life. And so it's just a really good opportunity to remember who we are. And our strength as Aboriginal women, especially in the context of who we are in our families and our communities.
Yeah, cool. You mentioned something with when you were talking about Miss NAIDOC, yeah. and also something I read about. When you mentioned the word boundaries, can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so I think boundaries are really important for a range of reasons, and I don't just mean boundaries as in you can't come near me. Mm. I mean, how can we make sure that we do things that are right for us, in terms of our energy, our time, our space, because we do need to look after ourselves, in terms of like physical safety, spiritual safety, and boundaries are a really important part of keeping ourselves safe.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Totally agree with you. And what are some of your passions in life?
Yeah, so this made me think outside of my career. Obviously, I spend a lot of time working.
Which is obviously a passion of yours.
Yeah, really passionate about education and access to education, obviously. I also really enjoy sport.
Cool.
So I do CrossFit and play netball. I don't often go to sport. Mm-hmm. I don't mind an AFL game. But if I was to watch cricket or tennis or something like that, I would just watch the clouds roll by. I find that really boring.
Yeah.
Love spending time with my friends and my family. Love travelling, being on country. I don't know what else to say other than I just love being with family and friends.
Yeah, cool. Mm. Is there a particular spot that you love like visiting or travelling to?
Well, last week a brother and I went up to Noble Falls.
Whereabouts is that?
In Noble Falls.
Where is that?
It was like 40 minutes from my house, and I live in Bassendean, so it was 40 minutes away.
Right, okay.
I'm not very good with directions, so I wouldn't be able to
give
them.
Get in a plane or something.
Oh, no. Okay. You just drive there.
Yeah, cool.
And it was a beautiful warm day. It was like 23 degrees and we went for a walk and there's falls there, obviously, water.
Yeah.
And I said to him, I actually want to put my feet in. And I would have done that. I never would have given myself the opportunity to just do it.
Mm-hmm.
But then he said, all right, then we'll put your feet in. And we actually ended up getting in the water and swam in the water. Yeah.
Gosh.
Like last week or the week before. It's not even that warm, but it was just so beautiful and refreshing. So that's one of my favourite places.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Good on you for getting in there in freezing cold weather.
Yeah.
You'll have to go back and visit it in summer. But
yeah, exactly. But there won't be much water.
Yeah, there won't be water. Shame. Yeah. So this is the time to do it then if you want to go to Noble Falls.
This is the time.
Yeah. And what about some volunteer work? Do you do any volunteer work?
Yeah, so all of the roles that I mentioned before are all volunteer.
Oh, awesome.
So Miss NAIDOC's volunteer, Leadership Institute's volunteer, City Vincent's volunteer, Early Childhood Australia's volunteer,
wow.
Wansley's volunteer, and Mentoring's volunteer.
Incredible. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the volunteer work that I do as well, you know, you make time for it because it's something that you just want to give back, right?
Yeah, and like the way I view it is like I actually, whilst I have a choice, I also don't. Like, I view it as my responsibility. This is the skill set that I've got. This is how I need to use it to transform the experience of my community.
Amazing. And, and obviously you've got so much to share and to give, and all of these incredible organisations already, I'm sure, have got even more value now because you're a part of that.
I hope.
Absolutely. Now, we're going to go into one more song break before our last segment with you.
Yep.
But did you want to, you've got one more request, another Barker song. She is a very cool lady, that lady, Barker. What was the song that you wanted to request this time?
So it's called Black Matriarchy.
Nice. We'll pop that one on just now.
Thanks.
Kaya, Mridich Maramans, Yorgas and Kalingas. This is Rita Miller and you're listening to Noongar Radio on 100.9 FM.
You're listening to Yorgas Yarning on 100.9 FM and Digital Noongar Radio. Tonight we've been chatting to Michaela King and very sadly this is our very last segment. Michaela, thank you for your time tonight. It's been such a pleasure speaking with you.
That's okay.
So, Michaela, what are some things that you will do now? I mean, you're already super busy, but I'm sure there's other things you've got on your mind that you want to do.
Yeah, so on Monday, next Monday, will be day one of my next degree.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I've just enrolled in a PhD, which is obviously the bigger thesis project, which will be 80,000 words.
I was going to say, was it the 22,000 wasn't enough for you?
No, so it's a big project.
Good on you.
Yeah, and I'm working with a really exciting team in Adelaide and we're looking at how we can transition a school to be culturally responsive.
Wow.
So not just for Aboriginal children, but for all children who are in minority groups. So it's a really big, exciting project because culturally responsive pedagogy is quite new in Australia. Well established around the world, but in terms of our context here in Australia, it's very limited. So I'm really excited about what we can find out and put into the space in terms of education in Australia.
Wow, and how long does that typically take to
I'll be researching for 3 years.
Oh, wow.
And I laugh because it's such a long time, but to date I've done about 8 years at uni already. So 4 year bachelor, 1 year orientation, 2 year master's.
Incredible.
How's my maths? It's maybe 7 years.
It's probably as bad as mine or as good as mine.
It's been a while is what I'm saying.
Incredible.
But, I thought I've come this far, I just need to gift myself the journey of finishing it.
Yep, absolutely.
And then I'll just continue to teach at university one day a week while I'm researching,
Cool. And that's in Adelaide, you say?
Yeah, so I'll be doing the project with the University of South Australia.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Good on you. All the best for that.
Thank you.
Looking forward to reading that in a couple of years as well.
Yeah.
I can't wait. What do you hope to achieve with your work and your studies?
This is another really interesting question because I have never in my career said to myself that I want to get to this place. I don't think about life like that.
Yeah.
And I don't think about my career like that. I just work really hard at whatever I'm doing at the time and then opportunities present themselves. So when I was first asked to teach at university, I was actually working as an acting deputy principal, which also surprised me that I moved up so quickly. But again, I was working really hard as a teacher, took the opportunity to do acting for a little while in leadership. And I tried my hardest there, and then I got put up to another position. So I can't say that this is where I'm going because I don't know myself.
And that's great.
But I'll just try to finish my PhD. That's the goal at the moment.
For sure.
And just enjoy the journey and enjoy the process, because it is a big lot of time. And it's a massive commitment. But I also want to just enjoy the journey of coming to know and learn.
Definitely. And I love how you said as well, just take the opportunities as they come. They're the really cool ones as well, aren't they, along the way?
Absolutely.
Cool. And tonight, why was it important for you to be on the Yorga's Yarning program?
Well, you asked me, so I thought I'd better go. But there's a couple of reasons. Like, I think not just here, but on social media and in community, I share my work a lot. And the reason I do that is not to big note myself, but because I'm accountable to my community. And I think it's really important that they have the opportunity to hear what I'm up to and to provide the feedback or redirect me if they think that I need it. But also the opportunity to say, you're doing awesome.
Is
really lovely as well. And I think in terms of like health and well-being and what I need to feel good in myself is just to yarn. Like I love to just chat and catch up with friends, and I mentioned that before, but I actually really do, and it makes me feel really good when I just get to chat. And so I just wanted to come and chat.
Well, so glad you did. It's been a pleasure chatting with you, and you know, hearing about your passions and where you've come from and what you're doing. It's just, it's such an incredible journey, and I can't wait to see what, you know, the next 3 years and even further is in line for you. So it's really cool adventures for you, for
Absolutely.
And one last question that I had for you, and I suppose, you know, anyone that's hearing tonight's show, what advice do you have for a young Aboriginal person that would like to get into education?
I think the biggest thing would be to not be scared about your capacity to get the degree. Aboriginal people are so incredible in how flexible we are. And how will we adapt to situations. But I also think Aboriginal people are incredible teachers, and I say this to my community and my friends and family all the time when they tell me they don't know how I am a teacher. And I say, we actually, you're a teacher. You teach every single day, and Aboriginal people have been teaching and learning from the moment we are born, and it comes so naturally to us when we allow ourselves the space to teach in a way that we want to, and in a way that's really natural to us. And so I think it's just about making it your own. And so my advice would be enroll. Get the support that you deserve when you're there. Find the people who will support you. They are there. You just have to find them. Ask for help if you need it, and remember that this is your degree. You can make it your own. And that you absolutely deserve to be in that space.
Definitely. Well said. And you are a prime example of that. You've done that. You've you know, gone above and beyond that as well. And you're an incredible role model to so many people. So
thank you. Well done.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Well, thank you once again, Michaela, for having a chat with us tonight. It's been such a pleasure getting to know you. And, you know, as I said to you, I read some articles and I've seen you at your professional learning sessions. But having this opportunity to speak with you has just been a real highlight. So thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Pleasure. Thank you for everyone listening tonight. This was our awesome chat with Michaela King. Budawan.